Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. We appreciate it. The films are Outside In, Ready Player One, and A Quiet Place. As I said, these titles could be a novel, so I won't write it. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. How you doing?
I'm breathing.
Ah, all right. Well, that's a step up from last time. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about three movies here, and each of them is pretty good in its own way, although I can't say any of them is a great film. The smallest and the one with the most sort of old-fashioned psychological feeling to it is Outside In. Which is a new movie by Lynn Shelton, whose previous films include Hump Day and Laggies. This time she's graduated to a two-word title again. And Outside In was co-written by Lynn Shelton with the guy who plays the main male role, who is really the center of the film, Jay Duplass. He is a multi-talented guy. He does all kinds of things, writing, directing, and whatever else there is. And he has, again, co-written this movie with Lynn Shelton, who directed it. And Jay Duplass plays a man who is just getting out of jail, out of prison, after 20 years inside. I thought the movie should have been called Inside Out rather than Outside In, but hey, that was their decision. So he's been inside, and he's just gotten out of jail. That's the very, very beginning of the film. And we don't know why he was in jail, although eventually, as the movie goes along, we sort of piece it together. But the movie is certainly not about his jailhouse experience. It's about his experience once he gets out of prison. And one person who he's very eager to see is his old high school teacher, who played, by the way, by Edie Falco, who we all know and love and remember from The Sopranos, not so very long ago, but she's done a lot of other things besides that. And she plays his old high school teacher, somewhat older than him, obviously. Her name is Carol. And as she's the one that our main character, Chris, really most wants to see. And we discover, as a little time goes by, that she worked very, very hard. She's been working with this organization that is against mandatory minimum sentences. And she has been a high school teacher, but she's getting fairly near retirement age. And she wants to keep on doing this working to help people in prison, help them with their cases, maybe help them get out, that sort of thing, because this is what she feels she was really born to do. And she doesn't really want to be a teacher anymore. And she feels it was so meaningful of her. Her work was so meaningful in being able to get this guy Chris out of jail, because he's really not a bad guy. A lot of people feel that he shouldn't have been in jail at all. We learn pretty soon that he actually took the rap for somebody else, etc. So he has, it turns out, a real crush on his old high school teacher, Carol, who helped him get him out of prison. And he really wants to develop a romantic relationship with her. And she really doesn't think this would be such a good idea, partly because she is married and she has a teenage daughter of her own. So that is the basic setup of the movie. We have this guy out of prison after 20 years, and he has a crush on his old high school teacher who helped to get him out of prison, did more than anybody else. We see at one point the records that she used to work on his case, and it's like boxes and boxes full of stuff. So she really did heroic labor on his behalf, and he really loves her. He loves her both in a platonic sense and also in a real romantic sense. So that is the basic setup of the movie. And will they get together? Will they not get together? What's going to go on here? We also have his interactions with some other people in his life, including the guy who helped to get him sent away to prison and so forth. The main thing about Outside In is that it's a very nicely directed, well-observed movie, and it's just beautifully acted. Edie Falco, I've never been a big admirer of hers. You know, she's never appealed to me all that much, although she certainly knows what she's doing. This is probably as good a performance as I've ever seen by her. And Jay Duplass is quite wonderful as really the main character of the film, Chris. So it's really seeing the acting, seeing the interaction between those two, their interaction with other people in their lives that this is all about. It's a small movie. I don't want to call it a quiet movie because I'm going to be talking soon about A Quiet Place, which is an even quieter movie. But it is a quiet movie and a gentle movie. It's a movie with a lot of what Hollywood used to like to call heart. So I recommend it, not enormously highly, but it's a nice film. And I think a lot of people who enjoy a sort of quiet psychological drama will have a good time with it. Moving to the other end of the quietness spectrum, we have Ready Player One, which is the new Steven Spielberg movie. And it is a huge movie. It is huge in every respect. And for me, it was really huge because I took the trouble to go out of town and see it in 3D IMAX because I wanted to have the full impact and see what Steven was really going to serve up this time. And it certainly is a spectacle, although that's sort of all it is. But it definitely is quite the eyeful and earful, as another critic wrote, to paraphrase him. I'm still waiting for my optic and auditory nerves, I will add, to come back. And it's now quite a few days since I saw the thing. So Ready Player One is, as the title suggests, a sort of a video game movie, and it's sort of a video game movie about video games. Our main character is a young man played by Ty Sheridan who gets involved in it. By the way, it takes place in the future, and he gets involved in a competition. Now, the setup of this movie is as follows. A very, very brilliant sort of ultimate Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg sort of genius of the internet world has created this fabulous virtual reality game. It's not just a virtual reality game. It's really a virtuality cosmos, and it's called Oasis. And everybody wants to go to Oasis. Everybody, as soon as they can get away from whatever their daily tasks happen to be, want to spend as much time as they can in Oasis. So the inventor of that fabulous game virtual reality environment played, by the way, by the wonderful Mark Rylance, who does everything brilliantly well. He's dead now, but he shows up in the movie anyway. This guy who invented all of this has left a kind of a legacy, and he has said that there is an Easter egg here, a hidden wonderful thing, and whoever finds that Easter egg in this virtual environment, video cosmos, will win his entire fortune and be able to inherit his legacy and take it over forever after. So our main character, whose real name is Wade, but who goes by the handle of Parzival, he decides to get involved in this competition. And of course, he has some friendly rivals, and he also has some very unfriendly rivals who are willing to do anything to bypass him and to get to the Easter egg. So that's what it's all about. It's about hunting for three clues that will then lead the way to this Easter egg, which will then lead the way to inherit the fortune of the Mark Rylance character. So all of this is, as I said, it is a video game movie about video games, about virtual reality and so forth. And the strangest thing about it, this is what I sort of want to focus on here a little bit, is that one of the clues involves the great Stanley Kubrick horror movie, The Shining. And parts of The Shining are actually reproduced during one part of Ready Player One with all kinds of antic, comic, zany twists. Now, this is kind of interesting because Steven Spielberg was originally the developer of, well, excuse me, Stanley Kubrick was originally the developer of the project which eventually became known as AI, Artificial Intelligence, which Stanley Kubrick then gave up, this is all many years ago, and decided he didn't want to make it because the special effects that he needed for the film didn't really exist yet. He couldn't really realize it technically. And so he gave that whole project to Steven Spielberg. Spielberg, who made it into what I regard as perhaps Steven Spielberg's best ever film, a science fiction film that Spielberg made a number of years ago. So Stanley Kubrick gave this project to Steven Spielberg, who then made it into a very excellent film. And now Steven Spielberg, years after Kubrick's death, is paying a kind of perverse tribute to Kubrick by recreating parts of The Shining in this sort of antic way in Spielberg's own new movie, Ready Player One. I mention all this because it's kind of a strange enterprise. And personally, I think that The Shining is better sort of in any one scene than Ready Player One is all the way through. That said, yeah, I had a reasonably good time watching Ready Player One. If you like big, huge special effects extravaganza movies, it's right up your street. Interestingly, Spielberg now makes two kinds of movies. He makes the huge, well, he's always made two kinds of movies, the huge spectacular extravaganza movies like this one, and the smaller, quieter, more serious, often sort of historical movies, such as his very recent film, The Post, which is about the Washington Post and the Pentagon Papers. So that was his sort of serious dramatic film of recent times. Ready Player One is his sort of huge extravaganza film, and he does those better than probably anyone else. I had a reasonably good time watching it. So again, if that's the sort of thing you like, you'll have a very good time at Ready Player One. And to stay with science fiction for a little bit, we now come to A Quiet Place, which was directed and co-written by John Krasinski, who also plays the main male character. Now, John Krasinski, I know primarily from The Office, the fine TV series on which he plays, to my mind, the most appealing and interesting and attractive character, young guy named Jim, who everybody likes and who gets involved in a little romantic rivalry and stuff like this. He's wonderful in The Office, but he is actually another one of these multi-talented persons who does different things. And again, he has directed A Quiet Place, and he co-wrote it along with the two people who came up with the actual story of it. So, A Quiet Place and takes place in the future, and it is a post-apocalyptic thriller. But post-apocalyptic movies are usually gigantic, huge, you know, action-adventure films like the Mad Max things and like that. This is sort of the opposite of this. The premise of A Quiet Place is, and by the way, we never learn what the apocalypse was or what caused it or anything. All we know is that in the little patch of regional area where this movie takes place, there is a family. There's only about a half a dozen characters in this movie. And the world has been taken over, or at least this little part of the world has been taken over by monsters. They are big, horrible, scary, evil things, and if they find out where you are, they will pounce on you and gobble you up in a trice. The thing is that these horrible monsters are blind. They only have apparently one sense, and that is hearing. So the few humans who still survive, including this family, have to be really quiet all the time, because if you make any sound above a teensy little whisper, and maybe even that, the monsters will spot you and one of them will jump on you. There appear to only be about three monsters in the area where this family is living, but that's enough. We find out at the very beginning of the movie, in fact, before even the opening titles, that they are very, very fast, and even a little bit of noise will attract them. And since the first person to get zapped, and this is within like the first about minute of the movie, so it's not a spoiler, first person to get zapped is a little kid. So you know that really nobody is safe around here. So that is what A Quiet Place is about. So John Krasinski, interestingly, has given himself the challenge of directing a movie in which there is almost no dialogue. There are a few dialogue scenes. And every once in a while, people can either whisper very quietly to each other, or they can get into a little quiet area that they have set up, which is sort of soundproofed, and have a little bit of conversation. And I think one of the implausible things about the movie is why they don't spend more time in that little soundproof area having more of these conversations, since it's really the only real, ordinary communication that they can have. But anyway, that's the premise of the movie. They also do sort of primitive sign language to each other, and there are occasional subtitles to translate that sort of thing for the rest of us. But mainly, it's about this family just really trying to be quiet and also to survive. There's sort of no regular civilization left at all, and so they have to do all kinds of things to keep themselves alive, you know, catch the occasional fish and stuff like that. And we see all the kind of security apparatus that they have set up for themselves, all sort of very homemade and jerry-built. So all this is kind of interesting. So again, it's an interesting challenge that Krasinski has set himself. I think the movie is not always 100% believable. There are, for example, a couple of narrow escapes or rescues, which I just found a little bit implausible. Now, wait a minute, that person couldn't really quite help that other person in that way. It just seemed a bit far-fetched to me. The action-adventure parts of it, in other words, didn't always ring entirely true. They sort of stretched over into cartoon physics, the kind of things that can happen in movies or comic strips, but couldn't really happen if we were really actually there. But hey, this is a science fiction horror movie, and it's very effectively done in its way. Very nicely acted, by the way. John Krasinski does a good job. Emily Blunt is terrific as the mother of the family. And the kids who play the kids are really, really good. And there's even a little bit of family rivalry. The daughter not quite getting along with the parents and stuff like this. So it's a nicely done movie. If you like a good sort of modest, minimalist, but quite effective, a lot of really good suspense, science fiction horror films, then by all means go to see A Quiet Place. It is, by the way, doing phenomenally well at the box office, one of the most successful horror movies ever to open in its first couple of weeks in theaters. So audiences are sure just eating it up, and I had a pretty good time watching it myself. So that is my partially horrific story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Outside In, Ready Player One, A Quiet Place.